Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
/12:18 on Grant and Danny. Scott McLuhan talking Kirk Cousins made national headlines because he said he doesn't see Cousins as special. We'll discuss. 1:18. We got two pretty bad options as Redskins fans as to who we're going to have to pull for in the Super Bowl. Are you going to go Patriots or Eagles fandom for that one night in early February? That is the question. We'll cover that in the 1 o'clock hour. Beltway Blitz time before we get to the Capitals and the Wizards. Let's start you off on the gridiron. Rich Taylor, NBC Sports Washington.com and Real Redskins. Rich, before we get to the Skins, what'd you make of yesterday's games, your big takeaways of a Eagles-Patriots Super Bowl matchup?
The big one I got is staying aggressive. The Jaguars didn't do that, especially in the fourth quarter when they had a chance to pull off an upset in New England. And the Eagles got very aggressive, especially at the end of the half. Going for that field goal, I thought their most impressive drive of the day was going for that field goal right before halftime when most other teams would have just run a draw, gone inside to halftime and said, hey, we'll take our 21-7 lead into the locker room.
Rich, Pro Football Talk had this this morning that some in league circles, again, I'm not sure exactly who that refers to, but bear with me, think that the franchise tag is still in play for Kirk Cousins and the Redskins. I, for the record, think that's a terrible idea. I also think the Redskins front office makes terrible ideas happen. I think this is still in play. Talk me off.
It's just, I don't know, it's just crazy too much money. And it would be, you know, if it was 34.5, I believe the number is. Yep. If that was the first year of a long-term deal, hey, go ahead, spend it. But that much money for 1 year, Again, like you said, they will do some crazy things that don't make much sense. But that's just too much money to play for one player, maybe not one not named Brady, for 1 year. I don't think they'll do it. You know, again, league circles are different. If I hear that from a Redskins source, then I might start to sweat it.
Biggest need, quarterback position aside, for the Redskins.
I think, again, looking at the games last night, the Eagles, I think continuing to build that defensive line. Yeah, they have some starters they can line up there. But, you know, Junior Gallette is probably going to leave in free agency. You'd like to upgrade the nose tackle position. I think up front in general, and you can include the inside linebackers in that, I think that's where the biggest need is if they don't need a quarterback.
Rich, is there movement on their free agent front? I'm just talking about their own internal guys that they can talk to at any point. Have you heard anything about them reaching out, making offers, negotiating? Just where do we stand with a lot of these guys that could find other teams next year?
Yeah, I have not heard anything. And I think it's kind of a period. I believe that it kicks in. They have like $1.2 million in cap space for the 2017 season. I don't think that opens up until the day after the Super Bowl. So they don't have much to offer in terms of a signing bonus or anything for somebody to sign immediately. So I think once they get that going, of course, the Cousins question is overriding. How much do they have to spend? Got about roughly $55 million in cap space. Before that, a lot of that going to have to go to Cousins. We'll do another quarterback. So, but no, I haven't heard of negotiating with Zach Brown, guys like that, but I expect that to start to heat up once the calendar flips to February.
Thank you, Rich.
Anytime, guys.
We'll talk to you soon, buddy. Let's talk some hoops. Ben Standig's locked on the Wizards. You can see him at NBC4's site writing about the Wiz as well. Ben, what are the details on this players-only meeting that went poorly?
So John Wall made some news after the Pistons win. You think it's sort of a it's going to be a positive situation after they get a big win. And he brings up a players-only meeting that went awry and how that apparently some people from in that meeting didn't take it well, and that set things backwards. Now, I think most people initially took that to mean, well, right before that Pistons win, the Wizards had lost 4 of 6, and even in the two wins against Orlando and Brooklyn really were not impressive. I think many took it to mean this team meeting must have happened fairly recently, and that's why even in the season of ups and downs, there have been more downs lately. From my interpretation, having talked to some players on the side and some other sources, the meeting actually wasn't that recently. Nobody seemed to be able to give me an exact date, but I was told by at least one player it was a few weeks ago. So I think to some degree this may be another case of a John Wall comment sort of being, I don't want to say overblown, but being a little bit overblown in the moment. I think there's probably something to it. Clearly this team has been disconnected all season, but I would sense that this players meeting wasn't something that happened recently and therefore shouldn't be interpreted as, well, this recent bad stretch, something must have just happened.
Yeah, great organizational culture. Ben, after the Charlotte loss, which was bad, among the worst of the season, I'd put Utah on there, the Lakers. There's plenty to choose from because they've had a bunch of bad ones. Scott Brooks threatened changes. A lot of things are going to change around here. Same starting five. Now, the minutes of certain guys like Marchand Gortat were down a little bit, but this was the exact same formula. What do you make of that, A, and B, if there are ever going to be any changes, where might they be?
Yeah, you know, obviously, and like everybody else, I was immediately thinking, okay, well, what changes could he actually make? And we're looking at the starting lineup. You know, the reality is that typically Marchand Gortat had a pretty good career against Andre Drummond, and so it made sort of sense to keep him in there. And I've always sort of wondered if Markieff Morris one of those guys who you maybe lose a little bit if he comes off the bench rather than start. So maybe Brooks thought the same way and kept the lineup as is. That said, he did pull Gortat within the first 5 minutes because I guess there were some struggles. Well, not I guess. There were some struggles inside dealing with Andre Drummond. So he made that move, and Gortat didn't play the rest of the half, and instead he went with much smaller lineups. He's done that before, but he did this one for much longer stretches, and that really seemed to work. And then in the third quarter, the starters on the court, they really caught fire and blew the Pistons out, and that really is where they pulled away to win that game. So there were some things that happened. You know, we all seem to look often at the who starts kind of thing, but ultimately the minutes are where it matters. He did go a smaller lineup, so I think there were some positives there. One thing, though, I will say, every time Scott Brooks seems to make a lineup decision that seems to work or whatever, he doesn't always stay with it. And that's why I don't know. We'll see what happens in this next game tonight against Dallas. Does anything that happened last game carry over to this game in terms of his lineup rotations, things like that?
Ben, thank you, buddy. Much appreciated.
Thanks, guys.
Let's talk hockey. J.J. Reagan covers the Caps for NBC Sports Washington and their website. J.J., 0-3 since the bye week. Is this a hangover or is this a regression to the mean for a good Caps team?
Oh, boy, that's a loaded question. Well, based on how they always respond out of a lengthy break, it's not unexpected. They had struggles after the bye week last season. They seem to have struggled every time they come out of a lengthy break, which is a problem considering they're about to go on another one with the All-Star break coming up. But there is some evidence to suggest that perhaps they're not as good as they played before the bye week. I think the biggest problem they've been having is they were scoring at a rate that was unsustainable given the amount of shots they were getting. It's the most frustrating thing that everyone notices when they watch this team is they don't shoot the puck enough. And so to be the 10th highest offense in the league while having the least amount of shots per game in the NHL, the worst shooting team in the NHL period, you had to expect a little bit of a fallback offensively for this team, and we're seeing that in these last few games.
John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt Reagan, my frustration level with this Burakovsky situation is mounting every day. It's almost unfair to him because I always end up picking a guy that's underachieving that I read a lot about on every team, and then it becomes like a personal thing to me. But I'm getting really exasperated here with him, just sort of disappearing at times and the ice time and whatever else. How do you get him out of this funk?
It's something he's going to have to play out of. At this point, there's no denying that there's a mental issue there that's holding him back. That's why he's such a streaky player. I think confidence has a lot to do with it. And so the best way to get his confidence up is to play him as much as you can justify playing him. Now, right now, the Capitals can afford to do that. They're in first place in the Metropolitan Division. It's still a relatively wide margin given how competitive that division is. So if you want to get him out of his funk, then you need to play him as much as possible. I thought it was a bit of a missed opportunity the other night against Montreal when they're playing against Antti Niemi instead of Carey Price. I would have played him as much as possible and told him to play his way out of the slump. It's going to be a confidence thing. I don't think you're helping him at this point by sitting him as a healthy scratch. We've seen him respond to that in the past. Sometimes that does work. I think it's gone beyond that now. Now you need him to play his way out of it and get that confidence up, because I think just sitting him in the press box, that's just going to hurt his confidence at this point.
Appreciate the time, JJ. Thank you, pal.
Thanks a lot, guys.
See you around the studios at NBC Sports Washington soon. He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. Scott McLuhan was on a Denver radio station, was asked about Kirk Cousins, what he is as a quarterback, what he's going to end up being. What he said made national headlines. We'll play that audio for you next on The Fan. Grant and Danny keeping you company on 106.7 The Fan. We'll head up to Philadelphia, get the latest from one of the members of the Eagles beat on the championship performance Nick Foles and that team put together to get to the Super Bowl yesterday at 1 o'clock, about 45 minutes from right now. Scott McLuhan was on the radio, 104.3 in Denver. He was asked about Kirk Cousins, and what he said has been talked about all over the country since. Here are his comments.
You know, the thing about it, I've been letting it be around and long enough to be other than Russell Wilson, Matt Hasselbeck, you know, Alex Smith. He's a good player. Is he special? I don't see special, but also we were still building the roster around him to make him special. You know, and Jay Gruden does a great job play calling. Sean McVay did a great job play calling, put him in situations to be successful. But he's talented, you know, and talent is good at quarterback in the NFL. You know, he's won games. You know, I know his record overall is not over 500. I know he's not won a playoff game, but he's competitive. He works his tail off. He's so methodical. Everything, every day he has planned out, and he's always in the building. He's always watching tape. He's always talking to coaches. He's talking to me. He, from the standpoint of the tangibles, they're excellent. You know, you just need to have some talent around him, because you don't want him to be throwing the ball, you know, 35, 40 times to win a game. You want to have a running game, have good defense, good teams, and then let him do what he does. And the thing about it that's unique, and you don't really see it too often, he's a pretty good athlete with his legs. He can make plays moving around the pocket and he's running for first downs. He's got a strong enough arm, there's no doubt about it. He's been through adversity, you know, when he was there. He got drafted the same year as Robert Griffin got drafted, you know, and Robert was the guy. You know, and of course he deserved it, you know, and he was, you know, rookie, you know, offense player of the year. And Kirk had to sit back and just wait and wait and wait. He wants to play. He's highly, highly competitive. You know, he comes across as a real nice guy, like Alex Smith did in interviews, and they are. But they're both highly competitive, and they want to win. But they want a stability, too. They want to know they're in some spot where it's not just a one-year deal, one-year deal, one-year deal. He wants a long-term deal.
So he covered a lot there, including
a lot to say.
Cousins wants to win. He may not be what you hear in the interviews all the time. There's a little bit more killer instinct to him than the nice guy that he comes off as. He's more athletic and has a better ability to run, move with his feet, and is, you know, an athlete. People don't give him credit for that. You can win with this guy, put a little bit more around him. You don't want him throwing a whole lot. But the quote, obviously, that everyone's talking about is when he says, "I don't see special." He says Kirk Cousins is not special. He said that on Friday, and I must have had 200 tweets from people.
Oh, yeah. People couldn't wait to tell me that.
I wonder if at Grant H. Paulson knows that Scott thinks he's not special, or what do you think about that? First of all, here are my responses in order. This is a nothing burger. This, to me, was not news. It wasn't interesting, and I didn't find it provoking of much thought. Scott McLuhan has never said Kirk Cousins was special. The idea that as the former Redskins general manager, he's saying Kirk Cousins is not special, to me is known. He has comped him on our show many times to me behind the scenes, but on our show he brought this up when we had him on it once. He thinks he's Matt Hasselbeck. Does he think Matt Hasselbeck was special? No, Matt Hasselbeck was just a really good quarterback who threw for 4,000 yards in a season in Seattle and who got to a Super Bowl. You don't have to be special to get to a Super Bowl to win. Does he think Kirk Cousins is good? Yes, as he pointed out. Does he think you can win with Kirk Cousins? Yes. Did he try to sign Kirk Cousins multiple times? Yes, he did. He doesn't think he's special. Guess why? Who's special? Who says Kirk Cousins is special? I don't think Kirk Cousins is special. Do you?
No.
And Kirk Cousins is good. Good is not special. The word elite, I guess, gets thrown around.
That was the one before.
Now special's the new thing. Is Kirk Cousins elite? No, he's probably not elite. Kirk Cousins is a fringe top 10 quarterback in this league. That is irrefutable. That is what he is. He's one of the five statistical best quarterbacks over the last 3 years. If you don't think he's a top five quarterback, I think that's perfectly reasonable. It's probably true. I would put him in the back end of the top 10. I've said for a long time 9 to 13. After this year, I'd probably bump that up to like the 8 to 11, 8 to 10 range. He is a back end top 10 quarterback. That is what he is. Is he special? No. Is he a transcendent talent that comes to your organization and you win a Super Bowl with right away? No. Is he a guy that would work in every offense and make every team he comes to better? No. Is he better than three of the four quarterbacks who played in Championship Sunday this weekend? Yes. So he's not special. We all know that, I think, generally. No reason to believe Scott McLuhan would have said he's special. He's really good. He's a very solid NFL quarterback you can win with. I don't understand, A, why people would have thought Scott McLuhan thought he was special. If he thought he was special, they probably would have signed him to a contract, by the way, when McLuhan ran the team for a year, or 2 years, rather, when Cousins was playing. B, I want to know why it matters that he's not special. When did that start mattering? The debate was, is he good? Should he? First, it was, is he a starter? We said yes. Now the debate was, is he good? Now everyone says yes. Then the debate is he worth the money? We're still arguing about that. But suddenly special now. Here are the list of quarterbacks who are special, unequivocally. Brady?
Yep.
Rodgers?
Yep.
Breeze?
Yep.
You can debate about some other guys. Is Roethlisberger special? Is Carson Wentz going to end up being special?
They're on their way to special.
Is Russell Wilson, does he have the chance to be special? There are three guys that are definitely special. Who else is special?
Yeah, Cam Newton's won the MVP when everything goes great.
And it sucks different. Half the time. Yeah. He stinks a lot of weeks.
So, several things on this. One, this is like, and you've talked about this a million times, your Hall of Fame would be tiny in every sport, right?
Yeah.
And that's the point. It's that. If you're, again, we used the word elite in the past, now it's special teams, that's like the new one, whatever that means. If your Hall of Special is very tiny, who's disputing that? Who is in opposition to that? So it's newsworthy because when you go, an executive who was in charge when Cousins was there said something that isn't 100% line up as a lemming, jump off the cliff, behind kissing praise, that somehow becomes an indictment or something else. I don't think anybody's ever argued that, maybe the occasional sycophant or guy that is delusional about it, but for the most part, we all kind of are in the same boat, except for those that are well outside it that just are never Kirk for no matter what. He's pretty good, and that's what we know. He's pretty good. Is he capable? As Scott McLuhan told us on this program, by the way,
He's
not good enough to say, we'll throw a bunch of just okays around him or worse, and he'll lift us up by the bootstraps and win 12, 13 games. That's not going to happen. Scott's plan wasn't for that to happen, by the way. His plan was to surround him with talent. The ability to do that was stripped away from him by the Washington Redskins, and the hearings are still ongoing as to the results of that. So to me, this is nothing in there do I disagree with. I think Scott may be a little bit lower even on Cousins, at least, again, comments on our show that he made, than maybe some folks in the industry. But I think his point is, hey, he fits the scheme and system that Jay has. That's not a negative on somebody. That's good. You want that. And you've got something. You could have had good value. You no longer can. The next part is, why is this news? Because, again, I think he said some of the exact same things with us. He said some of the exact same things on other shows and places before. I think the timing is the news because now it seems that it might truly be over. It now seems that it might be he really and truly is available.
Maybe anything that McLuhan said on Cousins would have been news, I guess. But, again, here are the questions I would have, and we'll open up the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines right now at 800-636-1067. Did people think Scott McLuhan thought he was special? Why would he have compared him to guys like Alex Smith? Not special at all. First overall pick, quarterback who's won a lot of games in the NFL, multi-time Pro Bowler at this point, one of the better quarterbacks in the league statistically this year, back in the playoffs again. Why would he have compared him to Matt Hasselbeck? I think
Kirk's Matt Hasselbeck. That's what I see. Matt Hasselbeck, real good player, get us to the Super Bowl one year, threw 4,000 yards, put players around him. He's Matt Hasselbeck.
Yeah, which is he's pretty good.
Yes, that's what Scott McLuhan has always said. For some reason, I think it's the word "special" that everyone like is very excited about.
Because that's a new one. No one's used that one before, or that's like the new buzzword, right?
I guess if McLuhan had come out and said he's not elite, it probably would have made just as many headlines.
Mm-hmm.
Elite is one of these moving targets that's like there's no number of players that are elite. Here is what I think would be a more interesting way to get something out of Scott McLuhan. And maybe we can get him on the show tomorrow or the next day. I'll reach out to him to see if he'll come on. Talk about this. But like, where would he rank him among the NFL starting quarterbacks? It would be news to me if he said Kirk Cousins is the 18th best quarterback or something like that.
Yeah, I see him ranking 15 for me or 27 for me or 33rd like Sian Fahey.
If he ranked him 16th or 17th, fine.
News.
Great.
Yeah.
That is news, yes. I'll bet you he'd put him in that 9 to 12 range like everyone else pretty much does now that isn't an idiot, that doesn't have an axe to grind or some bias or just decides – before games start, how they think Kirk Cousins played that day. But to me, this is nothing. I didn't find it interesting. I heard it and I thought, yeah, that's kind of always what Scott McLuhan said. He was on our show and said, you can win with this guy. He's good. He's not one of the best in the league, and he's Matt Hasselbeck, who, again, played for a Super Bowl against the Pittsburgh Steelers for McLuhan Seahawks at one point in time. Let's get some calls on this next. 800-636-1067. Your reaction to Scott McLuhan saying Kirk Cousins is not special. I'd be curious, first of all, do you think he's special? Is that an important thing now? Do you need to have a special quarterback? Three teams do, and those teams, other than the Patriots, don't win the Super Bowl most of the time. Rodgers has one ring. Breeze has one ring. Those quarterbacks are special. Breeze was just toiling away at 7-9 the last few years being special. 800-636-1067. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He's talking about what he sees from Cousins at quarterback.
You know, the thing about it, I've been lucky enough to be around and long enough. Other than Russell Wilson, Matt Hasselbeck, you know, Alex Smith. He's a good player. Is he special? I don't see special, but also we were still building the roster around him to make him special. You know, and Jay Gruden does a great job play calling. Sean McVay did a great job play calling, put him in a situation to be
successful. He goes on to make
a
lot of points after that, but the point was he doesn't see special. And this was taken to be some major declaration by a former Redskins executive. Well, clearly, I mean, he has comped him to Matt Hasselbeck before. Matt Hasselbeck is not special.
Tell me the difference between this quote that you've all heard by now and this one. This is with you and me. I asked McLuhan when he was on with us, remember, where's Cousins' ceiling? In other words, where does he go from here? He's improved in certain categories each and every year, and where do you think it is? McLuhan said, his ceiling is where it's at right now. He's a good player who has proven he can win a division, and that's hard to find. And a chance for 2 years in a row to go to the playoffs, that's what you're looking for. How is that out of whack with any of this? It's not, right? It's the same kind of thing we're talking about. He just said his ceiling is where it's at right now, meaning this is what he is, pretty good. Not special, not somebody that's incredible, not someone that changes the franchise, that transforms things. He can't do it without help. There's a huge bucket of those guys. There's an enormous bucket of those kind of gentlemen. What happens to Matt Ryan with no Julio Jones? Love to see it. Love to know. What happens to name that court? What happens to Phil Rivers gets worse when Keenan Allen goes out? Who would have thunk it? This is not rocket science here. I don't get why this is so revolutionary where it's like this is a new reveal. He has said this almost exact same thing before.
800-636-1067. Yeah. And I just tweeted out the quote that you just read. But my tweet before that was kind of a summation of how I feel about these special comments. I think there are three guys that are definitively special. There are a few others in the conversation. Cousins is probably, if you're ranking passers in the league, 9th or 10th. He's not lower than 12th for most unbiased people around the country. He's better than three of the four guys that played in conference championship games yesterday. You can win with the dude, and he is good enough that you could make a run with the guy. I think most people understand that now. Now the new thing, I guess, is going to be, is he special or not? And if you're saying, well, you have to determine if he's special to see if you're going to pay him special money, that's just not how it works. Now, that's a whole other conversation also, because you and I have covered this and we've talked about this. I don't want to pay Kirk Cousins $30 million.
I would like to not do that, given the choice.
We have had the conversation that it is probably time to move on from Kirk Cousins, because you'd have to pay him an insane amount of money to keep him because you've screwed this up so royally. But that's a whole other conversation than whether or not this is a big deal, what Scott McLuhan said. I just wonder who has said that he is special. Because if that conversation hasn't happened and a lot of people haven't said that, I don't know why this is a big story. Ahmed's in Rockville. What's up, Ahmed?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, dude.
First of all, congratulations on the weight loss and keeping it off. It's really inspiring.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate
it. That means a lot.
With Kirk Cousins, I've come around, because I was on the side of Kirk Cousins of not paying him, not really, you know, I'm always going to root for a Redskins because I'm a fan. Mm-hmm. But I didn't think he was special. I never thought he was special. And I kind of thought he was average to below average for a while. And to pay him at any point, even in the beginning, I think there's like a little bit of revisionist history going on, because there was at one point where we weren't sure if Kirk Cousins would even make it in the NFL. Now he has improved, definitely, but your argument is showing why we don't need to pay him. In reality, three of the four quarterbacks that are in the playoffs this week were worse than him. So there's no need. I've been spewing this dialogue for pretty much a year.
Well, here's the problem, Ahmed. Thanks for the call, buddy. The Jaguars probably get to the Super Bowl if you got Cousins instead of Bortles yesterday. He makes a couple of the throws in the second half. Bortles doesn't. He's a better player at the most important position. He is an upgrade for Minnesota over Keenum. Would they have won that game with Cousins? Absolutely not. They would have lost it anyway. Would he have had a better record starting than Case Keenum this year? No. But the point is, the better you are at quarterback, the better. And there are teams sitting at home right now that are really good because their quarterback isn't good enough. You want to make big decisions based on one day of football, one weekend, one playoff run, a few weeks? You could do that. I don't do it that way. I look at 12 and 15 years worth of sample, and I see who are the last quarterbacks standing. And yeah, you can win with Blake Bortles 1 year. You could get lucky. You could accidentally go on a run with Nick Foles. By the way, they wouldn't be the number one seed, and they wouldn't be going to the Super Bowl without Carson Wentz. But you might be able to do that 1 year out of several. You'll get your Joe Flacco or your Brad Johnson every 8 or 9 years, your Trent Dilfer. But by and large, it's top 10 and 12 quarterbacks every single season in the Final Four. Your Matt Ryans, your Aaron Rodgers, is the guys that are getting hot and going on their runs.
But it's a reasonable take that Ahmed had, meaning, yeah, you probably shouldn't overpay for this position.
Correct.
I think maybe Detroit's made a mistake, to be honest with you, paying Matthew Stafford that outrageous amount of money. They may never get there. Who knows? So proof will be in the pudding if Oakland's able to rebound with John Gruden having paid Derek Carr a huge sum. We will see. There's different strategies to do it. But beyond that, here's my cautionary tale to Redskins fans, and it's why I was arguing over the last couple years, long-term deal, please, figure that out really, really quickly, because the Redskins have had crappy quarterbacks over the last 26 years. I assume they've played in multiple NFC title games. I assume they've had multiple playoff trips in there, just with average to low-paid quarterbacks. Haven't they just constantly been in the playoffs? Oh, they haven't. It's been a disaster. It's not a magic formula where if you don't pay your quarterback, you get good. No matter what, you got to do better than the Redskins have done at every position on the football field, save for left tackle, where they've had back-to-back Hall of Famers. Other than that, they've stunk. I don't care who your quarterback is if you can't do those basic things right. Having a good one, which they have chased and sought after, been willing to trade multiple draft picks for in multiple years to set your franchise back a huge amount, was because of their desperation for it. That's the easiest and best way to compete on an annual basis.
I agree with everything you said except for the initial points on Stafford and Carr. There's no way for 1 second they'll regret or even think later that they shouldn't have signed those contracts because the cap's exploding. Carr at $24 million already looks like a bargain. Stafford at $27 million will soon enough. That's a franchise quarterback. Neither of those guys have won a playoff game, but it's not because of those guys. Technically, I guess if Carr becomes what he was this year every single season, and he's making $24 million, still not going to be a lot of money a year or two from now.
I'm not saying they will instantaneously regret it. The point may be, hey, now that we paid Russell Wilson, Seattle got worse. And maybe that's what happens to those franchises.
I don't know. Just don't have a choice.
But I'm with you. So I would have
made this
payment. Detroit
did the right thing. Oakland did the right thing. Washington did not. And now they don't really have a choice but to do the wrong thing if they keep Cousins, because it means that you are going to spend too much money. But the number that needed to be signed at was the numbers that Carr and Stafford got deals done at in the past. The Redskins weren't willing to. Let's go to Mike in Leesburg. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how are you guys?
Hey, man.
Good.
The point I was going to make, and I think I agreed with you guys, and one of the things I think is a telling statement is that the most important statement is surrounding him with players. Because even to me, even special quarterbacks need people. For example, Joe Montana is deemed one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Would he be as great without Jerry Rice and John Taylor and Roger Craig and, you know, Dwight Clark and the defense?
I doubt it.
So there's very few special quarterbacks that will be special without the people around them. It just becomes a narrative later after they win.
It's a great point. Thanks for the phone call, buddy. 800-636-1067 is the number. Let's take more calls on this. Scott McLuhan says he doesn't think Kirk Cousins is special. And for some reason, a lot of people thought that was a really big deal. Where do you weigh in? We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. Jared Goff is being named to the Pro Bowl in the NFC as a replacement. So that fills out the quarterbacking list. Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, and Jared Goff in his first year under Sean McVay. How about that turnaround for the Cal product in
Amazing.
Year two with the Rams?
It looks the part now, man. It's hard to describe. He's assertive. Like, it looks like he knows where the ball's supposed to go when it goes there, instead of the, oh my God, everything is happening so fast, I'm scared.
800-636-1067. Scott McLuhan said Kirk Cousins isn't special in his evaluation, thinks he's a good player. Basically said similar things on our show months ago without using the word special, and it's really gotten a lot of national attention. We're getting your reactions to it. Chris in D.C., you're on The Fan. What's up?
Hey, Chris.
What's up, fellas? How you guys doing?
Good.
Let's be honest. I think the proper term for Mr. Cousins is ordinary. How can I say this? I'm trying to be very respectful. How you guys, especially Grant, talk about Cousins, you always leave yourself out because you never go towards that line, but y'all get as close as y'all can. Like I said before, y'all kind of like Dick Vitale when he talks about Duke with Cousins. But I think that's why people probably give you guys such a hard time about this. But like I said before, you know, Mr. Cousins, as Redskins fans, we've seen him play, start a game since 2012. And let's be honest, he has let us down a whole lot of times. Like I said before, he's only led us to victory against three playoff teams. And the last 2 years where we paid him handsomely, the last five games of those seasons, he underperformed.
Chris. You're talking about the record, I guess.
I mean, no, we like the last five games this year. I mean, like I said, 8 touchdowns, 7
touchdowns. Yeah, bad stretch.
Yeah, he had a bad stretch.
Chris, how big is this ordinary pile? Because when you say he's ordinary, if you've got a bunch of guys in that pile, then maybe I can get down
20,
with that.
What does that mean? Everyone who isn't, you know, Brady, Rodgers, Breeze kind of
thing? Like I said before, you guys put the quarterback on such a high level. You guys blame the quarterback for our ineptitude for past 26 years. I'm a coaching staff guy. I think the reason why we've been inferior because we had terrible coaches and poor coaching staff. We only had two good coaches in that 26 span. It was Marty and Joe Jackson Gibbs. Like I said, we can go through the offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators.
You hated Sean McVay, too. You've changed your tune on him, which is nice. Your boy Bill O'Brien is going to do big things, I'm sure, in Houston eventually. We'll just keep waiting. Thank you for the phone call. 800-636-1067. Remember, Sean McVay was an idiot, according to Chris, a year ago. I don't know what he thinks about him now.
Well, look at the record.
Yeah, that's a good point. He had a bad record,
and he
let Chris down a lot. Eric in Alexandria, you're on The Fan. Go ahead.
What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing today?
Good, sir.
Okay, my assessment is this. I think it's not so much as what he said. I think it's the way who he compared him to as special. Special is that there are special quarterbacks. Kirk's not one of them. There is who he compared him to as special. That's the effect of the whole thing.
How do you mean? Explain that. Meaning the names that he used, like Hasselbeck.
Yeah, the names, exactly. The names that he used, Kirk probably on paper put up better numbers on paper, but actually buying time and all that other type of stuff, mm-hmm. these guys probably outperformed him on the field, but Kirk probably put up better numbers.
Eric, you're answering now, the question, yeah. is Kirk Cousins special? And I don't, none right, of us exactly. are saying he's special. We all agree with that. So I guess what's the point?
So the argument is this, that it's more so the word that Scott McLuhan used yeah. as opposed to who he compared it to. Because Kirk is not special, and not as far as I'm concerned, or and a lot of other people now. Grant, I agree with the guy just now. You do oversell Kirk. I mean, we know he's got numbers on paper.
Let
like
me ask
crazy.
You a question, Eric. Do you think yes, he's sir. One of the 12 best quarterbacks in the league?
I don't. I think
okay, well, I don't know what to tell you, because I'll tell you, most coaches and GMs are on my side, but maybe they oversell him too.
If he said, if the point is that this is not Brett Favre, okay, right? I mean, what? You're yeah. talking about a first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the greatest to ever do it. If your argument is that he's not one of these superstar, legend in our own time, right. first ballot Hall of Fame excellence every time he walks down to the field, yeah, okay, 100%. If sure. your point is he's pretty good, he's got flaws, he's had bad moments, probably more of them that keep him out of that special bucket,
yep.
again, nobody's disputing that, right? Even you who are these accusers are telling you that you're in the
well,
tank
you know
for.
What?
It just seems
I'm very
odd.
Glad, though, that Chris in D.C. thinks that I overrate him or that Eric in Alexandria thinks that. They evaluate quarterback play, as they've said on this show many, many times. Eric in Alexandria once said Doug Williams or something was a better quarterback than Kirk Cousins because he'd won a Super Bowl. That's asinine, and it's ridiculous. The point is, we look at quarterbacks differently. You are a little bit more old school, and you think that you can evaluate a player based on the win-loss record. I'll never do that. And I'm glad that we think very different. I'm super glad that you think I overrate him, because otherwise it would mean that you agree with my evaluation, and I don't want to agree with the evaluation of anyone who thinks that wins and losses are a good way to tell me if a quarterback's good. EJ in D.C., go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Hey, bud.
You bet.
I mean, I feel for you, Grant and Danny. About these guys calling in talking about Kirk Cousins is not. Everyone knows he's not special. It's only, like you said, 3 to 4 special quarterbacks in the league. But Kirk Cousins is doing what he's doing with no offensive line, no running back, no wide receivers. We had wide receivers, we gave them up.
They're gone.
No defense, no nothing. If Kirk Cousins was on the Jaguars, they'd be in the Super Bowl, without a doubt. So all this Kirk Cousins, I can tell you this, and they want RG3. And they're going to see, and I'm a lifelong Redskins fan, and they're going to see how terrible we are as a team when Kirk Cousins leaves.
Well, maybe not. If you can build a decent defense with the money you're not going to spend on Cousins, you can be competitive next year. You have to then trust that this coaching staff can coach those guys up and that, more importantly, this front office can pick the right players on defense. But you got to spend the money. Everyone just acts like, don't pay Kirk Cousins $27 million and we'll have $27 million. They've rolled $15 million over they didn't use in the past on their salary cap.
They were too cheap to get Alshon Jeffery, so they went and got Terrell Pryor.
Bruce is going to take that money and sit on it for a little while and go, man, it's nice to sit on this pile of cash.
Very comfortable, this
is
cash.
Is Terrell McClain 2.0 available? I'm not going to get Malik Jackson. Why would I? 800-636-1067. Dar, can you see if we can push back Dave Zingaro a little bit later in the 1 o'clock hour? Because people want to hop in on Cousins, and I'm enjoying talking football with Redskins fans again. It's been too long. 800-636-1067.
G&D for our buddies at EMP 180 Weight Loss. Grant, I had my check-in this past week. Wasn't good.
How did it go?
It went poorly, my
that
friend.
That poorly. Huh?
I had multiple meals in New York City that were not EMP 180 Weight Loss friendly. I had a couple different weird bits of scheduling quirks. But you know what? Do I look panicked? Do I sound panicked? Not at all. EMP has given me the tools to get right back on track. I know what to do. They've given me that. That's the gift. It's not just something you do for a little while. It is a lifestyle change. They will help you reach your fitness goals. You got to go see them.
EMP180weightloss.com. EMP180weightloss.com. I'm going to give you the number in a second. Call them up today. Schedule a consultation. Get in there. They'll weigh you. They'll get you a body comp, percentage of body fat, percentage of muscle. They'll give you an outline of a program, tell you how long it would take, how much it would cost to get you down to your desired weight. Just go in there. Get the body comp. Check it out, and I bet you you're going to want to do it. 855-888-0180. 855-888-0180. EMP 180 Weight Loss.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.